Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so glad to be back. I hope you all enjoyed an epic summer break. I know we both did. And this episode, we are going to be diving all into effective communication. So, Dan, take it away.
Yeah, so effective communication is one of these things that I think everybody knows is important, but very few people actually take the time to master. I guess I used to have the same thing too. You know, we speak all day, right? We've been speaking with each other all of our lives. And so it's very natural to think that we can speak. And if people don't understand us, well, it's their fault. Or if we don't get the point across, if we don't get the sale, if we don't get things to go the way that we want them to, it's really because of the other person. But there's a skill to communicating, and especially when you're in a business context, it's something that can be worked on, something that should be worked on. And so we're going to give you all sorts of tips, some of these bordering on Jedi mind tricks that you can master really quickly today that'll change the course of all of your relationships in your business, in your personal life, everywhere. So make sure that you listen to this at least once and actually put these tips into practice today, right? Instant implementation will allow you to master this stuff quickly.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and just really start diving into the different components of what communication is even in the first place. And so one of my favorite quotes, and I think Dan, you mentioned this as well, is that communication isn't measured in your ability to say what you want to say. It's in the ability for somebody else to fully understand what you're saying, right? So it's not about you being able to communicate something in the way that you want to. It's about being able to communicate it in a way to where the other person understands it in the way that you meant for it to be received. And so that's how you know you're communicating effectively, is by looking at how somebody else is interpreting the information that you're putting up.
Yeah, in essence, you know, the meaning of your communication is the response that you get. And really what that means is, like you said, Sophie, it doesn't matter what you think you said. It really doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what you wanted to say. None of that matters. What really matters is what the other person heard and the response that you get from it. Like, if I go into a room and I see someone sitting down and I tell them to stand up and they don't, then there's something in my communication that told them either not to listen to me, or that I was joking, or I didn't mean what I was actually saying, or something else that led them to continue sitting down. Now, if I just tell them to stand up again in the exact same way, that's not going to change anything because I'm still sending them the same message. If I want them to stand up, it's on me to change the way that I present myself, to change the way that I speak, so that I get them to stand the fuck up, right? It's the same thing with texting. Think about texting. This is one of the issues, right? You can send a message over text that was playful or fun. Think of how many times you've done this, or completely innocuous. And then the other person blows up and takes offense at what you said or freaks out or whatever. And you think, well, what, you know, you look at the words that you wrote, you piece them together in your own mind, and the other person's response doesn't seem to make any sense. But it doesn't matter because you got that response. To them, that's what you wrote, right? If they get offended, you wrote something offensive. And especially in a place like texting, where you can see the obvious difference between what you meant to write and what the other person interpreted, it's really important to make sure that you focus on getting the response you want, no matter what you say or how you say it. Well, the moment you start thinking about things like that, response-based, you'll immediately improve your communications.
Absolutely. So let's dive into some of the components that actually play into this. And I believe, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe it's 93% of communication has nothing to do with what you're actually saying.
Yeah, that's but, right.
Yep, yeah. But everything to do with how you're saying it. So a huge part of this actually comes down to your body language. We're very visually dependent human beings, right? So how we actually are positioning our body, how we're holding ourselves, how we're standing, really says a lot without us even saying anything. So paying attention to your body language is huge, especially when you're seeing people in person or over video versus just on the phone. Now, what's really interesting, and Dan, I'm sure you can attest to this too, is even over the phone, it's almost like you can hear how somebody is sitting and how their body posture is just through the way that they're talking. Right. So even when you can't visually see it, you can still hear and feel the difference based on somebody's body posture.
Oh, yeah. If you ever learn sales, at least learn it from someone who knew what they were doing. They'll tell you if you're ever on a sales call, stand up, get earbuds or headphones, whatever, and stand up and walk around the room when you're on the phone and pretend like the person's actually in front of you. That also goes into the smile and dial. Right. You can tell. You can tell when you pick up a phone and someone is saying the right words, but they're actually really upset about something. Or, well, I mean, think about the time, last time you were with a friend or your partner or a colleague, and you asked them how they were doing, and they said, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. And you instantly knew that they were full of shit, right? You could, come on, what's wrong? And they'll say, no, nothing is wrong. You know, everything is good. Things are going well and whatever. And they'll tell you all the right words. But what they're really saying with their body language is something is wrong. And yes, you can hear that over the phone. You can see that over video. I mean, how many times have you watched a video and before the person ever even opened up their mouths, you're like, nope, click, and just stopped it. Instant bullshit detector, or like, ugh, there's something there that you don't like. In contrast, how many times have you spoken with someone or you hung out with someone and they messed up their words or they didn't say the right things? But there was something in their energy, something in the way that they held themselves or made you feel in their energy that you just loved it. It's really interesting that some of the times, some of my best presentations and workshops happened when I f***ed up. I would be on a roll and all of a sudden I'd forget what I was saying. Or I would trip over my words like 4 or 5 times in a row, just trying to pronounce the same word and just not being able to get it out. And then I'd talk to people afterwards and I'd think, oh my God, like I totally screwed up what I said. And a lot of times the response was, this was the most fun thing you've done. We loved it just because you were confident, you were playful, you know, you held yourself like X, Y, and Z. And they would go to the emotions that I elicited or the way that I made them feel with my body language, but they didn't care about the words at all. So you got to start thinking about how you're communicating in all forms, not just your words.
Absolutely. And if you ever work with any great people who work with speakers on stage, the biggest thing is how to actually use your entire body, your diaphragm when you're speaking, and how to really emphasize the emotions that you're wanting to bring across through your body. So that's a big component. But more importantly, we start to get into other components like your tone. How your actual tonality affects the meaning or the interpretation of what you're saying. So if I'm talking to somebody and I'm using a very deep tone, it sounds funny for me, but if I'm using a very deep tone, it's much more assertive, right? Versus if I'm using a tonality that's much higher pitched, it's typically going to come off as being a little bit more, what's the word I want to use, like bubbly and or ditzy, depending on how I'm speaking. Right? So paying attention to your tonality and how you're actually using your tone really influences the way that people will interpret what you're saying.
So let's start inserting some Jedi mind trick stuff in here. So when we're talking about body language and tonality, it's really important to match what the other person is doing. So we'll start with tone because that's the easiest way to go through a podcast for you to really get this. But different people process information differently. And for example, people who are more visual thinkers tend to speak in higher tones and they tend to speak faster and they tend to move faster. Whereas people who are more on the kinesthetic, the more physical feeling, the more emotional, will speak slower. And then audio and more logical people we'll speak sort of in the middle. But how do you think it sounds with a conversation that goes with a visual person speaking in their way and a kinesthetic person speaking in their way? It'll sound a lot like this. Like, you know, Sophie may call me up and go, "Hi, Dan, how's it going? I had this going on the weekend, and it was all really fun. And oh my God, I'm so excited about all these things going on." And I'll respond to her going, "Hey, Sophie, what's up? That all sounds cool." And I can't even speak anymore like this because I'm driving myself up a wall. It's jarring and it makes things sound very different. You know, people like who they are like, and they will open up to you if they find out that you're like them. This is why we look for commonalities in conversation. But before a conversation even starts, match them. Like when I speak with Sophie, whether I know it or not, like unconsciously, because this is just what I've been doing for years, I tend to speak faster. I just do it. And I tend to speak a little higher pitch. Why? I want to be like her. I want her to feel comfortable with me. Right? And I have other friends who are, God damn it, they speak so slow. But I'll slow down too, right? Because I want them to feel comfortable. And so we want to do that with each other. Tone and timbre and speed and, you know, the pace of the way that you speak, right? And do the same thing with your body language. So if you're meeting someone and they're sitting down, their legs are crossed, maybe you want to cross your legs or cross your arms, have something crossed, right? So that you kind of match them. Or they're leaning, maybe you want to lean a little bit. You want to have, you know, they're open, be open too. And so that way they feel comfortable with you. And I know people say like, look, you know, you always want to have an open and confident posture. But if I'm speaking with someone who is on the shyer side of things, maybe a little bit more introverted, and I want to respect them and I want to give them space, and I come with my, you know, super loud and confident, open body language, and, you know, I'm manspreading and like that, I'm going to freak that person out. Really, I'll, you know, they'll be like a spaz. But if someone's really confident and I come in and I'm trying to act in the way that I'd make someone who's a little bit more shy comfortable, so I have everything crossed and in on the middle line of my body, then I'm going to make that confident and open standing person also very uncomfortable because I'm not like them. So the moment you can match people in the way that they speak and the way that their body language is, they will unconsciously pick you up as someone who is like them. They'll open up to you. They'll trust you even more and they'll just be open.
Love this. Ah, so good. So good. And it's also really important, again, if you are somebody who is in more of the speaking realm or in the world of speaking or wanting to get into that, or even just somebody of influence wanting to influence other people, paying attention to the pitch of your words is also something that's really important. And I'm sure you've probably heard people who tend to have a tendency to want to speak more of like band camp, right? They have like a lot of these little high pitches in their voices because they're really excited. And this is when we start to get into pitch and looking at, okay, how is somebody's pitch when they're either finishing their sentences and are inside of each of the words that they're saying really shift the way that you're interpreting it, right? So one of the big things, especially for a lot of women, is learning how to actually control your pitch inside of your language patterns. And the reason being is that if you're ending your sentences and you're kind of having more of a high pitch tonality at the end of it, right? It's kind of like, well, I kind of don't know what I really want to do, right? It changes the interpretation of it to where it sounds more like a question. So paying attention to these little minute details and being able to have more subtle control over your pitch, over your tone, right? In the same sense, it's like, well, I don't really know what we should do, right? It starts to bring more of that sense of confidence, more of that sense of assertiveness, which is what you want to be able to bring to the stage and are bring to people that you're wanting to have influence with.
Now let's take this one step further. If you really want to be like the person and make them feel totally comfortable and confident with you, pay attention to the words they use and use them too. Right? There's a very big difference, or could be a very big difference, in your audience. If they say pissed off, that made me pissed off. And then you say, yeah, yeah, that made you upset. They might shut you down, right? They might say, no, I didn't get upset. I said, I got pissed off. In their minds, it could be different. everybody has a different definition for like every single word you use. That's one of the reasons why we have so many miscommunications. And if you assume that everybody has the same definitions as you do inside of your mind, you're going to make a lot of people confused, upset, all over the place, right? So make sure if you really are matching someone, go the full Monty. When I'm on a sales call with someone or when I'm hanging out with a client and I'm just listening to them speak, I write down their phrases, the words that they use, word for word, no substitutions. That way, I can repeat their phrases back to them and I'm speaking their language. That's the way you can crawl inside of your person's head. Remember that it's your job, it's your responsibility to make sure they understand you. And so when you use their words, perfect. They'll understand you. It's their words, right? So go the full way. And that's the same thing also with emotions, right? Like Sophie has been bringing this up like a bunch of different times that the way you speak, the way you hold yourself will elicit a different emotion. Well, if someone is bringing up a happiness emotion and you respond with sadness, you're going to bug them out, right? Because it's like slamming into a brick wall. And the same thing too. Sometimes when someone is sad, they don't want to get out of their sadness. If you want to know why, go back to when we talk about emotions, like way back in the first 20 episodes or so, and you'll see why. But if you're speaking with someone who is sad and they're in the middle of sadness, yes, you can bring them out of that. But at first, you need to make them open up to you and understand you. So the emotional content of your communication, whether it's your words or body language or whatever, must match them so you match the emotional tone of what they're saying, and now you're speaking on the same wavelength.
Love this. It's gold. Dan, here's a fun question. We're talking so much about how tonality, how body language, how all of these pieces come into play. How does that affect people when we are doing texting or emails or social media posts, and how that comes across, right? How do we actually help create the influence or the perception that we want people to have of us through social media, through just written text?
That is a challenging one, admittedly. But thank God for emojis, first of all. Seriously. Like, I know a lot of people will say that it's unprofessional to use emojis. I don't give a It's unprofessional to have someone not understand me. That's where I come from. Like, I don't give a how I need to get my message across. I just need you to get what I'm saying. And especially because my sense of humor can be kind of offensive, I guess, at times. Like, I love teasing people, and it's all in good nature. It's all in love. Like, good friends tease each other, right? And so that's kind of my way of doing it. And when I'm with someone face to face, it's really easy for me to get that message across. Like, hey, I'm playing, you know, it's all in good fun. When I'm doing that in social media, I'm doing that over text, or I'm writing an email or whatever, then either have to blow things out of proportion to make it super duper obvious that I am messing around with them, or I'll use an emoji, because otherwise I really don't know how you do it. Because text, you're removing 93% of your communication. Like, how do you relay that information? Because, you know, my friends, especially my guy friends, will say some of the meanest to me, but they'll say it, you know, you look at their face and you know it's all with love. And so that's what I hear. And that's what I feel. That's the response that they get, is me either laughing because what they said was just like perfectly put and I was the brunt of it, but hey, I don't care. It was awesome. Because I know that like they're just playing. So when you remove, the more of your communication aspects you remove, the more overt you need to be, or the safer you need to play it. When in doubt, play it safe. Really. When in doubt, don't throw out the joke. When in doubt, don't be sarcastic. Oh, by the way, sarcasm is one of the hardest things to pass across in just text. It is so hard that if you're going to stay, you know, super professional and without like LOL or an emoji or something like that, just don't do it. Because guaranteed, someone will read that shit and hate you for it. So just stay away. But I really do think that this day and age, people are loosening up in their communications. I think it is okay to stretch the boundaries of professionalism and to throw in, you know, a ha 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 or a happy face or, you know, LOL or something like that, just to drive home that like, hey, I'm being playful here. You can relax. It's totally cool.
Love it. Such a solid answer. And it's so true. I think this just kind of comes back to even holding a conversation, especially in today's world, that feels like everyone is just so easily distracted or so easily distraught. And being able to really engage with somebody, right? Really be able to have a conversation where they feel like they're fully seen, they're fully heard, using a lot of the ninja strategies that you've mentioned so far. But I would say an even more important piece is to remember that it's important to be present and more interested in the other person than you are trying to be interesting. I know you brought this up a little bit earlier when we were talking about the session, but really showing curiosity, showing interest in the person that you're speaking to, who they are, what they're doing, and that's what allows them to be more interested in you.
So you brought up a word that I think a lot of people throw around, but not a lot of people understand or teach. So what are your tools? First of all, how do you define presence, Sophie? And what are your tools? What are your strategies in order to be present with someone else?
Yeah. So this is a fun one. Presence really comes down to, I would say, a level of awareness. Being fully aware of yourself, of the moment, of what's happening in real time without having your mind trickle off to the past or to the future, but being fully in this moment, being fully aware, and whatever your attention is on, that's where you're fully present, right? And so some tips and some tricks for this, number one is really slowing down. So often we can be so in our heads going a million miles a second, especially if you're a high achiever, high performer who has a busy schedule. And so a quick way to do this is to pay attention to your breath, right? Really start to slow down your breathing, starting to take deeper breaths and starting to feel both your belly and your diaphragm and your chest lift as you breathe in and sink as you breathe out. And as you start to do that, starting to, in a way, tune into all of your five senses. Right? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? What are you tasting, if anything? Right? And as you're doing that, you start to become more aware of your surroundings, of your environment. It starts to bring you into this present moment. One of the things for a lot of people who tend to have more anxiety is becoming more kinesthetically present. So when you have something tactile that you can touch, it brings you back into your body. Right? So something that you can squeeze, whether it's a chair or just a cup or even like soft little balls, the therapy balls.
Thanks, Sophie.
I had to clarify that one. are great ways to just kind of get back into the present moment. And so when you're speaking with somebody, really focusing on them, right? Paying attention to how they sound, how they smell, how the words that they're saying are coming out, what, if anything, your body feels like, if you're in contact with them, how they feel. And those little moments, just really tuning into your senses, are some of the best ways to become more present.
I love that, really. And I think that presence is, man, maybe we should just do an episode entirely on presence, because there's so many things that go into this, and it really is important. Perfect. We'll add that on there because it's so fun. And there are so many different things you can do with it.
Yeah.
But it is important to really be there, to listen with the intention of feeling and understanding instead of responding. And so listening in and of itself is a skill, and it is part of effective communication. A lot of times we think of communication as only being how we relay our messages, but it's not. It's also how we receive other people's messages so that we can fully respond to them. And with all of that information coming your way, body language, emotion, and words, and tonality, and all this other stuff, if you're in your head trying to think already of what you're going to say or other things that it made you think of or whatever, you're going to miss a lot of that. And so when you respond, you'll respond to only a fraction of what the other person said. And if you think they don't feel that, at least unconsciously, you are so wrong. They get it. You know it. Women are much more in tune, guys. Women are much, much more in tune than we are with this. If you think your woman doesn't know that you're not fully listening, she knows and she doesn't like it. Stop that shit. And if you're a woman and you're giggling a little bit right now, it's because you know, speaking the truth, right? Because it's annoying as hell to speak to someone, especially if you're speaking about something emotionally, and you can tell they're not all there. And so it sets up a kind of communication or a kind of relationship that is just not full. It's not 100%. So this is for everyone. When you're listening, my favorite trick, when I'm listening to someone, I create a movie of what the other person is saying. And that's also awesome because I'm really inquisitive and I'm just a curious person by nature. And I get tripped up by details. That's why it's like if I'm watching a movie and there's a plot hole, it'll f*** me up. Like I just can't get into the movie anymore because I like the details. It makes it rich and interesting and emotional for me. So if someone's telling me a story and I'm creating a movie of, if there's something that I'm curious about or there's like a little dark spot, I'm going to ask about that. And they'll see, oh, like I'm really paying attention. And then if, for example, they forget what they were talking about or they lose track, I know because I have the movie in my head. So I know what's going on. I know where it stopped and I know where it got all jumbled for me because if they're like, oh, there's a really clear, crisp picture of everything. And well, what the hell happened here? And oh, no. Let's go back to this thing. And what happened there? And we can create this beautiful movie together. And so now this communication really does become a back and forth and we're building something together instead of just throwing things at each other, waiting for our time to pick up the ball and throw it. And that is when a conversation becomes truly effective because a conversation here, when you start thinking about it more as teamwork, then you're going to get to an entirely different level of communication and understanding and relationship. Right. And I hope that's really become apparent throughout this conversation that you're hearing now that everybody in the conversation is 100% responsible for the success of the conversation, the person listening and the person speaking. And you trade roles, but you're always at 100% responsibility. And it's absolutely essential that you remember that for every other conversation that you have for the rest of your life if you want them to go well.
Love it. So, so good. So, on that, I think there was one other thing that we wanted to touch on. Dan, you mentioned love-based languages earlier. Let's tune into that before we wrap up this episode.
Yeah, sure. So love-based language is my favorite linguistic tool. As far as I'm aware, it is the strongest linguistic tool that there is, and it is subtle but incredible. Love-based language is essentially speaking with intention to create energy. I don't know, man, done a lot of episodes. I don't know whether I've explained the big four before, and maybe we should, but love is one of them. Love is one of the most important healing energies that there is, but most people get it confused. I use the cosmic definition of love, which is to create life. And if you think about conversations in which you have left with even more energy than you went in versus conversations in which you left with less energy than you went, there is a style of speaking that creates energy within yourself and within the listener. And in order to learn it, we're going to have to go into fear-based language first. So if love creates energy, fear takes it away. Fear-based language is the language of negative. And so it's speaking of negative subjects, but also using words like not, cannot, will not, should not. You're speaking about negative things. You're turning things off. Or using words that are deleted comparatives. So we say, I want more money means really I don't have enough. Or I want less stress means I had too much, right? Or saying, I wish I was faster means I don't think I'm fast enough. I wish I was smarter. I don't think I'm smart enough, right? So these are all focusing on negatives. Or you have modal operators of necessity, which is words like must, have to, need to, or I should. All these words like I need to lose weight, I should go clean my room, I have to make it there on time. All of these statements at the end of it have an unspoken or else, right? I need to lose weight or else I'll look fat in my wedding pictures. I need to go make money or else I'll be broke. The focus is on that unspoken or else. It's focusing in on the negative. And then you even have more subtle ones. Like if you use the word if and then a positive, if I succeed, most of the time you're saying that you're actually focusing on the fact that you probably won't. And you're saying, yeah, you know, if I make it, okay, yeah, that's not a lot of confidence in you, right? That's really focusing on the failure there. Now, when we flip it, when we remove these negatives, when we focus in on the positive, we say the words like even, that's great for those comparatives. I want even more money. well, that implies that I'm totally cool with what I've got, and I'd like even more. I want even less stress. I want an even bigger house. If you can feel the energy on those statements, it's totally different than the statements that I threw out before. You can also use words like instead, right? So instead of saying, do not use the word not, I say, instead of using the word not, use this, right? And that gives you an option. It's a constructive way. And it gives you a way to do something that's even more positive than saying the word not. So the other way is just saying what you really want. A lot of people will say, hey, don't forget this. Don't forget to set your alarm, right? But we're actually focusing on forgetting. The unconscious mind doesn't process negative commands very well. So like going up to a speech and saying, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke. What are you going to do? Of course you're going to choke. Because your unconscious mind just hears choke, 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 choke. Instead, there it is again, just say what you mean. Hey, will you remember to set your alarm, please? Right? Instead of saying, hey, don't go over there, say, come over here. Instead of going over there, come over here. There's so many different things that you could do, but just say what you really mean. Say it with intention. And I'm going to give you two sentences here that will allow you to feel the difference between love-based language and fear-based language. They mean essentially the same thing. The first thing is going to be in fear-based, but also right now what I'd like you to do is check in with your body. Check in with how you feel, your energy levels. Check in with your opinion of me, of like our relationship. Check in with your hope and your confidence and your outlook on life, and then hear this sentence. If you don't start using love-based language, you're going to find out that more and more of your conversations are going to go wrong. And you're going to find that you'll have less success with every single conversation. People are going to feel the fact that you're a negative thinker. Your conversations won't go well at all. You're going to find out that you're going to make less money. You're going to have less success in your sales conversations. And people won't want to speak with you because you won't know how to speak. Now check in with your energy now. Check in with your outlook. Check in with your hopefulness, your confidence. Check in with the way that you think about me and our relationship. Chances are you have a lot less of everything. Things have just gotten a lot darker. So shake that off. Now feel this sentence, meaning essentially the same thing. Look, the moment you start using and truly mastering love-based language, all of your conversations are going to go even better. You're going to make even more money because your sales calls will go even more fluidly. And instead of making people feel negative, you're going to make them feel positive and hopeful. And you're going to create energy with every single conversation that you have. Now, see how you feel. I'm pretty sure that your energy just increased, that you have an even sunnier relationship with me, that you have even more faith in yourself, that your confidence went up even more. Now, think about that. That's just one sentence. It's just one sentence each. It can make a world of difference. Now think about how many sentences you think a day, how many you read a day, write a day, how many you hear a day. Now think about what your life could be when you change everything to love-based language. That's a massively effective form of communication. So your task for this episode is to practice love-based language. Listen to this a couple times in case this went by a little too fast, because it's fine. It's a different language. It may take you a little bit of work, but it is so very worth it. So start practicing that now. Start improving the efficacy of your communication.
Ah, so powerful. I hope y'all wrote that one down. If not, rewind. And on that note, guys, I think, Dan, is that part of the exercise that you wanted to give for them too this week?
Yeah, that's your exercise. Practice love-based language as often as you possibly can.
Boom. Love it. And on that note, guys, thank you so, so much for tuning in, and we will see you on the next episode.
See you guys.